stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. Another special guest today, we have Rob Elias, the CEO from the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So welcome, Mr. Elias.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Rob, you're our first local guest. You know, we've done a lot of the episodes. I believe this is episode 7. And we've had teachers. We've had a board member. We've had a couple retirees on the show. And you're the first local business member that we are speaking with and meeting with today. So tell us a little bit about what you do with Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We know you hold the title of CEO, but tell us a little bit more as why Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce exists. What is the mission, and what do you guys set out to do?
Yeah, well, first, I won't try to screw it up as your first business community person to be on the show. I don't want to ruin it for everybody else. But it, you know, it's I have such an honor and a privilege to serve in the role that I serve in, advocating for a number of things that I care deeply about, people being among the very most important: community, culture, business, good public policy, good balance in government, and just trying to help people. And there's a phrase that we like to say at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, that big ideas designed with intentionality and care will build a stronger community that includes everyone. And that certainly includes the 43% of the population in Tucson that are Latinos.
That's awesome. You know, and you know, I've had the privilege, especially in the last couple years, to attend some of your events, and just, you know, I've quickly learned of, you know, what the focus of these events are. And it is about serving the community. It's about providing opportunities to the community, and especially the Hispanic community out there. So here in Sunnyside, you know, we have a huge Hispanic community, and always looking for opportunities to move forward. And so, you know, I'm aware that you're a native Tucsonan. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing, you know, being born and raised here in Tucson, and, you know, growing up to be a successful business person and CEO. You know, I think it's great because you're definitely a role model for our young children in the community. And, you know, it's always sweet when you see the homegrown individuals be successful. And so tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Yeah, well, Tucson has always been home. And, native Tucsonan. I went to school, oddly enough, all of the schools that I've attended in Tucson have been on the same street, which sounds funny because, you know, Tucson is not a, we don't consider it a huge city, but we're not a small city either. So I went to Robinson Elementary School, which is around Midtown. I grew up right across the street from Reed Park, 22nd and Country Club. I went to Mansfield Junior High, Tucson High School, Pima Community College, and then University of Arizona. So all of them were on Sixth Street, or, you know, St. Mary's once you get further west. Absolutely loved my upbringing. My father was an educator. He was a high school American history teacher. Wow. at Sabarita High School. Okay. For almost 40 years, and I have a deep respect for schools and for teachers and what they do in the community, and it very much shaped who I am. My mother was an educator as well before she became a homemaker, and she had kids, and we pretty much ruined her career. But
gave her a little bit of headaches.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I'm sure we did. You know, having three boys.
I was going to say, yeah. You guys are all boys, right?
Yeah, all wow. Boys, and you know, I think that I gave her a little break because my other two brothers were the worst ones. So I gave her a little sanity.
So you're the consentido? You're the favorite?
Of course. Absolutely. And she would say the same.
I bet they wouldn't, though,
no,
right?
No, they wouldn't. But, you know, but there were so many instrumental people that helped me along the way, whether there be mentors or teachers or other, you know, parents of friends that I used to hang out with, coaches, mm-hmm. Teammates. So many things molded me into who I am, and whether I'm successful or not, that's for others to determine. You know, I choose to define success differently for myself and that's just enjoying life, and that's what I do.
That's awesome. So, you know, I had the opportunity to play a little baseball with your brother Rich, and I know he's also very successful in the line of work he's in, and you know, I think there's something to say for the student athlete too. I mean, I think you come from a family where all of you were athletes, and I think for a lot of individuals that are athletes, you know, they get their opportunity because they get their school paid for by earning a scholarship, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So talk a little bit about that piece. I know you played ball at Pima, you're a baseball player at Pima, you played at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what opportunities did that open up and how did that come to be?
Well, I wasn't always the most talented baseball player. I can confess that. I was always very small. I didn't really grow until after college. You know, after college, I gained 40 pounds and also grew by 4 inches. So I was pretty small. So I just had to outwork everybody. And luckily that work ethic stayed with me, continues to this day. But you know, when you work hard, you're given opportunities, you earn opportunities. And there's not a lot of people that say they get to play baseball at the University of Arizona, which I think is a huge deal. You know, so I was certainly not on the level of some of my teammates, so they were amazing, but you know, there's something to be said about working hard, right, getting lucky, being
but
in
you,
the right
but
place.
But you got a roster spot, right?
I
so
did.
When you think about, you know, how many individuals get to play Division I baseball, I mean, you did it, right? You got the opportunity. So they saw something in you that, you know, they felt like you could contribute. And you know, to all the athletes listening out there, sometimes it's not, you know, there's going to be a lot of athletes that have talent, right? But sometimes it's these other pieces of, is this person a good person? Is this person a good student? Is this person going to make good decisions that make decisions that help these universities say, we're going to give the scholarship opportunity to this individual,
right,
because he has all these other qualities, right? And so I didn't like that piece of you talking about, you know, gaining weight after college baseball and all that, because that happened to me as well, and it just continues to happen. So you threw me off there, Robin. I didn't think you had to bring that piece up. So, but, you know, you made some good points about work ethic and how, you know, I think athletics teaches you discipline, teaches you work ethic, and you know you got to work hard to be successful on the athletic playing field, whatever that sport is. And I think you can translate that to life in terms of being successful in what you do, right? Because, you know, like they say, anybody can quit, anybody can decide to not do it, but not everyone can be successful, mm-hmm, because not everyone's willing to put in the work needed, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I've always said that, you know, I feel very grateful and lucky and blessed that I'm in the position I'm in. I've always felt like things kind of have fallen into my lap. I'm like, man, am I just in the right place at the right time? But when you look at it, it's continuing to work hard, creating opportunities, and being ready when those opportunities come up, right? And so, you know, what led you into this line of work, right? So you went to school, University of Arizona, and all of a sudden, you're the CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So where did that passion come from? Did you see an opportunity to make a difference? Why did you choose that line of work?
Yeah, I tricked a lot of people, obviously.
They fell for
it,
right?
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, my path has led me down to learn a lot about how a city works, components that make a city successful or make it thrive. You meet people along the way that have influence in the city, you learn from them, and over the years I just collected a lot of tools in my tool belt, and I listened to a lot of people that are far smarter than I, and I learned lessons from them. And all of these tools that I've collected over the years have put me in a position where I became a good candidate for the position that I hold today. And not, you know, when I was selected for this job 2.5 years ago, there were no doubt incredible candidates from across the country that wanted this position, and I'm so proud that the board chose me to lead this role. But in my role is very political. You have to learn about things like economic development, public policy and government, how politics works, how that shapes. And in my opinion, there are two ways that we can create meaningful change in our communities and in life in general. Either one by manipulation, and the other is by inspiration. And one thing that I really want to choosing to influence meaningful change within our organization is through inspiration, which is why we invite Sunnyside School District students to every single one of our signature events, whether it's the summit that features seven mayors and two governors across across the international border, or it's the 40 Under 40 event that we just held last week, or Hispanic Market Outlook this year, which featured Cheech Marin as our keynote speaker. It's giving those students the same opportunities that I had to, and even at an earlier age, because when I was in high school, I was a knucklehead. I didn't think about any of this stuff. And now that there are so many students that are engaged that come to this event and ask fantastic questions, it makes me feel good about the direction that, that Sunnyside is going, because I see it firsthand.
So when are you a political science major? Is that what you majored in?
Yeah.
And so at what point, what was the light bulb moment that said, you know what, I want a life in politics. I want to chase this political science piece. Explain that to us.
So the one thing that drew me into politics is not, politics is such a dirty word these days, but I'm an internal optimist. And the thing I love about politics is that it has the ability to change people's lives in the positive direction. The first thing that got me into politics was that regardless of whether you love politicians or hate politicians or even what they do, I admire the fact that they know how to speak to people. Sometimes they're lying. A lot of times they're lying. But there are moments where they are genuine and authentic, and they actually can inspire people to want to be better and to help others. And that's one thing I wanted to do, is to be able to have conversations and relate to people from all walks of life, whether you're young or young at heart, whether you're wealthy or you're not. They have a way of communicating things that is on their level.
Yeah, I want to go back to this piece, and I think you hit it right on the nose in terms of politics, because I admire that they're under the spotlight so much, in terms of politicians, and they have microphones under them all the time, right? They have cameras in front of them all the time. So, there's a lot of vulnerability there, right? In terms of what you say, you're going to get ridiculed whether you said the right thing or not, right? Sure. And so you're going to have people that support you and don't support you. But I want to go back to this piece of when you talked about, providing our students opportunities to attend your signature events. They've been doing that the last couple of years. I mean, I really got to thank you for that piece, that because we don't get that from every organization here in town, that invites our students. And I think it's a great strategic move, on your guys' part. I also think it's a great opportunity for our students, and I know you do it from the kindness of your heart, talking about these pieces of, when we were in high school, we probably didn't know what we were going to do, right? We didn't have our future planned out.
There are days I still don't know what
right,
I want to do.
We still don't know where we're headed, right? But just to put them in that spotlight and put them in that situation for them to see successful people. So one of the events they just attended was the 40 Under 40, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to give a shout out to our three individuals that were recognized at that event. We had a Zach Cadera, ABSS at Elvira. We had Jennifer Cardenas, who is our school psychologist at Ocotillo, and our CEO of the Sunnyside Foundation, Liz Soltero, was also recognized. So definitely want to give them a shout out. So we had a table of 10 students that Mr. Elias provided them a table to attend this event, have breakfast, and see the recognitions, right? And the most, besides the blue pancakes, I mean, I think we're still having arguments whether they're blue or green from our table. Never had eaten blue or green pancakes, but, that was not the most important piece there, but I wanted to chuckle about that a little bit. I think our students were just amazed and engaged at seeing the video stories of the 40 recipients, you know, and you hit it on the nose, all walks of life, right?
That's right.
It's just not business people. It's just not, you know, these successful individuals that are in one line of work. I mean, there's different lines of work. There was educators, there was attorneys, there was bankers, there, you know, and so forth. There's just a lot of people from the University of Arizona.
Yeah.
You have your man and woman of the year. And, you know, I think what's important for our kiddos is for them to visualize themselves mm-hmm. being up there, right? Visualizing themselves being successful, seeing individuals there, because it's a diverse group as well. You know, seeing people the same color skin as theirs, right? People with some of the accents that we have, right? And so that piece is so, so important because it gives them that hope and belief and that confidence that, you know what? I can do this. I can be up there. And so talk a little bit about that. And this other piece that I have a deep respect for you is that, you know, we in our organization, we always say we don't lead by positional power, right? Mm. We don't lead by title. There's no hierarchy in learning. We use a lot of those phrases because there isn't. And it's evident that you don't operate that way. After the event, you took the time to sit down with our 10 students and have a little discussion with them. And I truly, truly appreciate that because not every successful person or somebody with the title of a CEO will make time for that, right? They're going to go capture. And this was right after the event. And so I have a deep respect for that because at that point, some CEOs would be like, oh, I got some business opportunities here. Let me go catch this person or that person and you know, put some my 2 cents there and put some words in their mouth to get them thinking about the next business piece, right? And you didn't. You went to that room and you spoke to our kids, and I tell you what, they admired everything you had to say. So tell us a little bit about, you know, that thought process and why it's so important to give our kids opportunities.
Well, I appreciate the kind words that you just shared about that. I'm going to phrase this, what they did for me in giving me the opportunity to go chat with them was more meaningful than the event in itself. And the event is pretty special. We changed this event a couple years ago to recognize and honor people from different walks of life, different occupations, to emphasize that success should be defined of the impact that we're able to make on each other's lives. And that doesn't always come from the business sector. The majority of us have been helped along the way by teachers or mentors, administrators, superintendents, often. And it's important that we recognize these people and we start to change the definition of what success is. Not that there's anything against, you know, of course, every parent wants their kid to be successful, whether it be a lawyer, a banker, or a politician. I'm not so sure about that one. But whatever they decide, whatever the traditional, what they called white collar at the time is what, you know, parents want, you know, aspire their children to be. When, you know, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and the one thing that I want, people say, what do you want her to be when she grows up? And I said, I want her to be happy. I want her to be joyful in whatever that looks like for her. And so it was very important for me to have that discussion with the students because it's meaningful to me. And I hope it helps keep me young too in hanging out with these young high schoolers. But man, I was so impressed with the questions that they asked. The way they listen so intently. And I don't like to, you know, I don't go around telling people what my title is or anything like that. I don't think it's important. It doesn't define who I am as a person, but it's the title I've been given and I have to embrace that. Whether they listen to me more because of that, and if that's the case, then fine, I'll take that. But I really want them to know that they are important, now and will always be important to somebody, and regardless of what their title is or what their the letters are after their name, they have value.
Yeah, I can't stop thinking about, you know, first of all, they rocked it. I mean, I was just sitting back, blown away by the questions and how just attentive they were. You know, they definitely were listening. They definitely were hearing the videos that were on display of each recipient. And they just asked some great, great questions. And it wasn't one individual leading the conversation. It was all 10 of them,
right?
Having this deep discussion about success, right? Just about opportunities and just impressed with you speaking with them. And so, you know, I can't stop thinking about these kids going home and telling their parents about it. You know, I wish I was in their kitchens and living rooms hearing the conversations that our students, you know, have with their parents saying, hey, mom, dad, I got the opportunity today to go to Star Pass. And I was part of this big event where there was a lot of important people there. And the CEO, you know, took the opportunity to speak with us. And so, you know, for many of those kids, that's life changing. We talk a lot about, you know, and I've been talking about this thing for probably about a year now, but you know, this piece of imposter syndrome, right? And I know a lot of our kids suffer from it. You know, they don't sometimes see themselves being successful. They don't believe sometimes, or you know, it's this piece of it's a lack of sense of belonging. Do I belong? Right. Can I compete? Right? And so I always try to remind them, you do belong, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to go get it, right? And anybody can be successful. And so we do have a lot of success stories. There are a lot of successful alumni, and we always try to tap into that because our kids need to be reminded that no matter where they come from, they can operate at a high level and be very successful people. And as you mentioned, success is defined differently. It doesn't mean that you have to be a CEO or a doctor or a lawyer. I mean, some individuals will have their own business. Some will go into the workforce, you know, right after high school and be successful. And so, you know, that's definitely important to us. And you know, I want to thank you for the partnership we have. I want to thank you for visualizing this piece and paying respect to this piece of providing students opportunities. Because we've all had help along the way, right? You know, we've had, and something you said earlier is, and I truly believe in this. I think successful people are great listeners. I think successful people are observers, right? They're always paying attention to the details, and they learn from that. And successful people are humble people that want to learn. And so, you know, we hope to continue to instill that in our students and people of this community. So. What other exciting events do you guys got coming up? I mean, what are your, again, I, you know, I talked a little bit earlier about, you know, what are the big goals? Like, what's that moment where you can say, you know, Tucson Hispanic Chambers has arrived, right? And we're making a difference. And so, what's coming up? What's down the road here?
You know, you talk about imposter syndrome. There are still moments where I'm like, what am I doing here? And I don't, you see one problem and you solve it, and you find another one and you solve it, and you just keep solving problems, or trying to do the best you can with the situation that you're given. But there are moments where I'm like, man, I'm not sure if I belong in this role. But there's nothing wrong with adopting the underdog mentality from time to time and saying this is who we are, this is what we're doing, and we think we're making a difference. With regards to whether we've arrived or not, we will never feel that way. I will never feel that way because there's always work to be done. And the work that we do is truly meaningful to me. I think it's meaningful to the people that we serve as our business members. And we're going to keep working down that path. The work never stops. What we have upcoming is we are lucky enough to co-host the 24th governor of this great state of Arizona in her State of the State address on January 23rd. We are co-hosting that event with Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We're thrilled in that collaboration. Anytime the governor comes down to Southern Arizona, and especially to Tucson, it's a big deal for us to hear what she has to say, to hear what her vision is for our state and what she wants to do going forward, particularly in the realm of education. It's very important.
I was just going to say, I hope the topic of education is covered.
Oh, for sure. Right? I mean, with the background that she has, obviously education is a big part of who she is and her upbringing. Mm-hmm. So no doubt that we're hopeful that she wants to get a little bit more bullish around education. And we hope our representatives at the state feel the same way and better fund it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I just want to, you know, for the record, say that you answered the trick question perfectly like a successful person. Have you arrived? You never arrive, right? And there's always work to be done. And it's a grind, right? It's mm-hmm. it's grinding every day to continue to provide opportunities and continue to provide these successful events for the community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just want to say that I think you're doing a phenomenal job. I think you're well respected in the Tucson community and you know, you're out there in terms of promoting these events and you know, I've had the opportunity to attend a few of them and I just love the topics of them, you know, in terms of it's always for the greater good, right? It's not this piece of, I want to selfishly be successful, or I want this special business or that business. It really is for the good of the community. And so, you know, as we wrap up here, again, I want to thank you, Mr. Elias, for being on the show. I think our listeners learned a lot today about the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and I encourage them to stay in touch, you know, in terms of what's happening in Tucson, social media wise. I know you guys put a lot of information out there, and I just want to leave you with any final comments you have for our listeners.
Just grateful for the opportunity to come here and share my thoughts on things and share a little bit of my story. A lot of people in the community don't get a chance to share the things that have shaped them or molded them into the people that they are. And I'm glad I was able to share a little bit of that with you and your listeners today. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. I am an admirer of what you and your team does with this school district. I think you're definitely doing some fantastic things that are be beneficial, not just in the short term, but for generations to come. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to be here, you know, today and talk about these important pieces. I mean, I love the fact that you're a homegrown individual. I mean, we like to say, you know, in our organization, we're all homegrown, and a lot of our educators come back and give back to this special community. And, you know, I think when you were appointed a couple years ago and you know, there was, as you mentioned, just candidates nationwide, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to go with the person that's from here, right, serving this community. And, you know, keep up the great work. I think you're doing a phenomenal job. And we look forward to future opportunities. And hopefully, you know, someday we will have some of our graduates serving in a similar capacity or even serving for the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So
yeah, well, no doubt we're going to see a few walking across the stage at upcoming 40 Under 40 events. That's for certain.
That's for sure. And we're always well represented. Got to toot our own horn here a little bit.
You do.
And, you know, we that's something we always look forward to because it's such a special event. And so we hope that, and we know, you know, we'll continue to have successful individuals and being recognized at future events. So with that, I want to wrap up. I wish you happy holidays as the holidays are approaching.
Thank you. Same to you.
To our listeners, you know, happy holidays to you. This might, I believe, is our last episode before the new year. If not, we'll try to squeeze another one in. And if not, we wish you all a happy and safe holidays. And so that wraps up this episode of Somos Sunnyside. Thank you.
Somos Sunnyside.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it entertaining. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and share our podcast with La Comunidad. For updates on future episodes and more, be sure to follow us on social media and visit our website at susd12.org. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back for the next episode. Hasta la próxima vez en Somos Sunnyside.